Shri Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Shri Mayapur Navadvip Dham ki jai, Ganga Mayi ki jai, Jamuna Mayi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the lotus feet of Shri Shri Guru and Garanga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're starting a new chapter. It's from the 10th canto, chapter 89. And Keshava Prabhu, I'm a little hesitant to read the whole chapter summary. Is that always the... Because then it's kind of like a spoiler alert. Lets everybody know what's coming. Is it necessary or not necessary? Okay, thank you. So this chapter is entitled Krishna and Arjuna Retrieve a Brahmana's Son. I'm sorry, yes, a Brahmana's Sons. And this chapter describes how Bhrigu Muni proved the supremacy of Lord Vishnu and how Lord Krishna and Arjuna recovered the dead sons of an aggrieved Brahmana in Dwarka. Once long ago on the shore of the river Saraswati, a discussion arose among a group of sages as to which of the three chief lords, Brahma, Vishnu, or Shiva, is the greatest. They deputed Bhrigu Muni to investigate the matter. Bhrigu decided to test the Lord's tolerance, for that quality is a sure sign of greatness. Okay, so let's all chant together. The first, actually I've got it here. My eyes are no longer as good as all of yours, so. Think of that. Okay. Sri Sukha Uvacha.
Sri Sukha Uvacha.
Saraswatyasthite Rajam. Vishaya Sachamasata. Vitarka Samabhutesham. Trishvadisheshukomaham. Shishukuvacha. Saraswatyasthite Rajam. Vishaya Sachamasata. Vitarka Samabhutesham. Trishvadisheshukomaham. Shishukovacha. Vaishnavis? Word, Shishuka Uvacha. Saraswatya. of the on the bank. Rajan, O King Pariksit, Rishaya, sages, Satcham, a Vedic sacrifice, Asata, we're performing, Vitarka, a disagreement, Samabhut, arose, Tesham, among them, Trishu, among the three, Adisheshu, chief lord, Ta, who, Mahan, the greatest. Translation, Shukadeva Goswami said, once, O king, as a group of sages were performing a Vedic sacrifice on the banks of the Saraswati River, a controversy arose among them as to which of the three chief deities is supreme. Purport. The three chief deities mentioned here are Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma, and Lord Shiva. The next verse, let's all sing together. Tasya jivya shaya te vai vrigum brahma sutam nipa tajyatyai kamasu tov jagat brahmana shabham. Tasya, about this, jivya shaya, with the desire of knowing, te, they, vai, indeed, brigum, brigumuni, brahmasutam, son of Brahma, nipa, O king, tat, this, yaptriyai, to find out, te shayamasu, they sent, sa, he, avyagat, went, brahmana, O Lord Brahma, sabham, to the court. Translation, eager to resolve this question, O king, the sages sent Lord Brahma's son, Bhrigu, to find the answer. First, he went to his father's court. Purport. As Srila Prabhupada explains in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the plan decided upon by the sages was for Bhrigu to test which one of the predominating deities possessed the quality of goodness in full. One who is in the mode of goodness possesses such qualities as tolerance and equanimity, whereas those conducted by the modes of passion and ignorance are prone to easily lose their temper. And all of you who know this prayer, you can say it together. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gnanjana Shalakaya Chakshushin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha. What that means is, I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. So there's three different discussion points I want to share with you today. First of all, is the importance of receiving knowledge from somebody who really knows, who's actually in full knowledge, and that means a bona fide spiritual master, someone who is connected with Krishna and knows the truth. And two, to hear what Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu have to say about this controversy. Do you guys know what the word controversy means? Does anybody not know what controversy means? It means there's a lot of different opinions. There's not one opinion amongst people. And we're also going to conclude with Lord Shiva's opinion about the matter. So in the Chandogya Upanishad, Acharyavan Purusho Veda, it means that one who follows the disciplic succession of teachers, acharyas, knows things as they are. Now, Prabhupada often mentions in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam that a person who has a bona fide spiritual master is supposed to know everything. I remember many, many years ago when I first read this, I thought, wow, if you go to the colleges and the universities and you go to the trainings and so many things in this world, you're never, nobody will ever tell you, if you learn from me, you'll know everything. But our acharyas, they actually are very bold about stating that, because their knowledge, and if you know this verse, tadvipi panipatena pari prashnena sevaya upadekshanti tajjnanam jnanina satvadarshina. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge because he has seen the truth. So we may take it for granted. Like if I ask all of you right now, okay, who's supreme? Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma, or Lord Shiva? What would you say? Okay. Now, how come you guys know that answer? And these are very exalted sages that are on the bank of the Saraswati. They're not just like ordinary village folks, and they're not just mental speculators. They're not just, just kind of even ordinary sages. They're very intelligent, educated, knowledgeable, exalted sages. I mean, think about it. We just read, but who can tell me who is Bhrigu Muni? Who is his father? Brahma. Who is his brother? Someone else. Who is his brother? Shiva. His father's Lord Brahma, his brother's Lord Shiva, and who's supreme? Okay? So they hatched this plan amongst them, the sages, on that river. The bank of the river Saraswati, they decided, okay, we're going to find out. We're going to settle this controversy once and for all. So that you're going to get to hear about in the next few days or maybe week of how they went about deciding who was the supreme. Now, we may think, okay, this is a history that happened a really long time ago, but when I was doing a little internet research, this same controversy is still going on today. There's still learned people and a lot of not learned people arguing online who is supreme, Lord Shiva or Lord Vishnu. Because the devotees of Lord Shiva, and in the Shiva Purana, there's a lot of verses that talk about how exalted Lord Shiva is and that he's the origin of the material energy, and on it goes. He and Parvati, they're the supreme god and supreme goddess. Now, Lord Shiva doesn't agree with this, and nor does Lord Brahma or Lord Vishnu. So we're going to find out what they say. But Srila Prabhupada talks about, Lord Krishna himself in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, verse 15, and I bet a lot of you know this verse, Vrvaschachaham hridisani vishto matas mitir jnanam apohanam cha vedaischa sarvar aham eva vedyo vedanta krit veda vid eva chaham. And that means Lord Krishna says, I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of the Vedanta, and I am the knower of the Vedas. So if Krishna is the compiler of the Vedanta in his incarnation of Srila Vyasadeva, and he's the knower of the Vedas, why would we take anyone else's opinion? But, and Srila Prabhupada talked about this often, that many speculators, they will argue that they won't come to the source. And Krishna also says in the seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Bahunam jamanam ante jnanavamam prapadyate vasudeva savam iti samahatma sadurlabha, that knowledge, one who actually has knowledge surrenders to Krishna, and that real knowledge is when one understands that Krishna, Vasudeva Savamiti, Krishna is everything. So that's real knowledge. And before you get to that stage, it's a lot of misunderstanding. So Lord Brahma, how many of you have heard of the Brahma Samhita? Okay, so in the Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma himself talks about that Lord Vishnu is his source, and he's also the source of Lord Shiva. So if you know this verse, let's all sing it together. Advaitam Achyutam Anadira Nantarupam Adhyam Purana Purusham Navayo Namcha Vede Shudurlabham Adurlabham Atma Bhakto Govindam Adi Purusham Amaham Vajami. The translation for that verse, and this is Lord Brahma saying this, I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is inaccessible to the Vedas, but obtainable by pure, unalloyed devotion of the soul, who is without a second, who is not subject to decay, is without a beginning, whose form is endless, who is the beginning and the eternal Purusha, yet he is a person possessing the beauty of blooming youth. Now that's pretty advanced English, so I'm going to give you a little bit more information about that verse, okay? And this is from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Srila Prabhupada's guru. In his commentary, his purport to this verse, he talks about how Brahman, which is Krishna's effulgence, and Lord Paramatma, which is Krishna who's in each of your hearts and in the hearts of every living entity, not only in this universe, but in all the universes, and who's in the atom, every atom in all of the universes, is Lord Paramatma, is expansion, that also comes from Krishna. And even though, how many of you are learning division in school? Okay, so if you take 100 and you divide it by 10, what's the answer? 10. Okay, now I just talked about millions of trillions of billions of gazillions of living entities and atoms and all of that. But when Krishna expands, does he become divided? No. How does he do that? That's one of his mystical powers, is that he never becomes divided himself. And it's also described that millions upon millions of avatars emanate from Krishna. And like I said, we can't even count how many jiva souls there are that are all expansions or part and parcels of Krishna. But Krishna never becomes divided. He remains whole. And another really far out thing to meditate about Krishna is even though when we celebrate Krishna's advent or appearance in this world, what's the name for that? What do we call that? What festival is that? Janmashtami. Thank you. So does that mean Krishna takes birth? Not really. He appears in this world or in the other planets and the other universes. He appears. So he exhibits the pastime of birth, but he doesn't take birth. And even though he disappears, right, when he was here as Lord Krishna, when he was here as Lord Chaitanya, he disappeared. Does that mean he's gone? Okay. No, he's always eternal. So, and even though he's eternal, which means he's like really, really old, right? Like, can you even like fathom how old eternal is? Does Krishna ever look old? I mean, if he wants to, he can. But in his form of Shyamasunda or Krishna, he's always very youthful, right? So, and in the transcendental realm, there's no past and there's no future. Only the present time. So Brahma says in this verse that the transcendental absolute is beyond the reach of the Vedas. The Vedas originate in sound, and sound originates in the mundane ether. So the Vedas cannot present before us a direct view of the transcendental world. What's the transcendental world called? Starts with a G. Goloka Vrindavan. Who wants to go to Goloka Vrindavan? Help everybody. Okay. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says that Goloka Dham reveals itself to the jiva soul, that's us, when we're under the influence of Krishna Bhakti. So who wants to be under the influence of Krishna Bhakti? That's how we'll actually have all of this that we're hearing about revealed to us in our heart, and we'll become qualified to go join Krishna there. So, the rest of you, how late do you stay? 10 more minutes? Okay, because I have some more stories. You want some more stories? Okay. I might skip over some of this. So, who knows who Sanatan Goswami is? Who knows who Sanatan Goswami is? Somebody who hasn't answered a question yet. Okay. The brother of Rupa and disciple of... Who is Sanatan Goswami a disciple of? Lord Chaitanya. And Sanatan Goswami was specifically requested and empowered by Lord Chaitanya to teach all of us about the science of bhakti. So in his commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's a beautiful book, and a lot of you are old enough to read it, called Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And even though the books are really big, don't let that intimidate you. It's not that hard to read them, and they're full of the sweetest stories. So some of you, I'm looking at you who are old, you're definitely old enough to read Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Yeah. So in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Sorry, I'm tripping over that. Lord Brahma, we know Lord Brahma is directly the son of Lord Vishnu, and he's the creator of the planets and the rulers. He assigns who's in charge. He assigns Indra and Kuvera, the different jiva souls that take the post of the different demigods. So, because Lord Brahma lived a whole lot longer than Indra or Kuvera or any of the others. So Narada Muni decided he started out on a quest. He wanted to find out who was the object of Krishna's special mercy. Who had the most mercy from Krishna? So he was having a discussion about it with Indra, and Indra just kept going on and on about your father, Lord Brahma. He gets so much mercy from Lord Vishnu, from Lord Krishna. I mean, look at the service he does. And he worships Lord Mahapurusha. Described Lord Mahapurusha has 1,000 heads. He's the 1,000-headed Mahavishnu, form of Mahavishnu, who's the origin of all the other Vishnus. And from Mahavishnu's navel sprouts the what flower? The lotus flower, where who takes birth? Brahma. And Brahma, Lord Brahma, worships Mahapurusha with great love and great devotion every day. And so Narada went, and he came just at the right time, and he was watching his father worship the Lord, and he was just in awe, and he was watching. Lord Brahma was experiencing so much ecstasy worshiping the Lord and singing kirtan, and all 8 of his eyes, tears were streaming down. Isn't that a far-out picture to imagine all 8 of Lord Brahma's eyes, tears are coming down, and he's wiping his tears so they don't interfere with his service? And Narada Muni waited until Lord Vishnu retired to take some rest. And then he came and he offered obeisances to his father, and he said, you are certainly the object of Lord Krishna's special mercy. He resides with you personally on your planet. He personally accepts your offerings and your worship every day. And Brahma, he said, stop, stop. And he covered all 8 of his ears with his hands. And he said, no, stop, stop. I'm nobody. I'm just a servant of a servant. I'm a servant of the Lord. He said, my Lord, he resides everywhere in the universe, not just on my planet. And I was so foolish. I gave benedictions to demons like Hiranyakashipu, and they created so much disturbance in the universe. And then my Lord rebuked me. Actually, Lord Nrisimhadeva chastised Lord Brahma for giving these benedictions to Hiranyakashipu. And then Lord Brahma said, and even after my Lord chastised me, still I gave boons to Ravana, and look at all the chaos he created and all the horrible things he did to my Lord Ram and to Sita. Terrible things happened. And then the demigods that I appointed, Indra, look at the inconveniences he caused to Lord Krishna and his pastime, and Yamaraj, and Kuvera. He said, and then I went to Vrindavan, and I stole Krishna's calves and cowherd boyfriends. I am certainly not the object of Krishna's mercy. Look at all the foolish things I've done. If you want to find out who really is the object of Krishna's mercy, then you should go and see your brother, Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva, he gets so much mercy. Even when he commits offenses, the Lord doesn't take offense. Even when he makes mistakes, he doesn't ever get in trouble, not like me. And he's so special that Krishna himself worships Lord Shiva. He serves him. So he's really the one who gets Krishna's mercy. And then when Brahma saw that Lord Shiva was like, I'm sorry, when Brahma saw that Narada Muni was ready to go immediately to go see Lord Shiva, he said, but wait. It's true that Lord Shiva resides at Mount Kailash in this world, in this universe. But if you want to see Lord Shiva in all of his splendor, you have to go out of this universe. You have to go out of the seven coverings of the material universe and go to Shiva Loka, where there's no such thing as unhappiness, and where Lord Shiva, you can see all of his opulences, and where he worships his personal deity named Lord, anyone know? Starts with an S. Sankarshan, yes. And Lord Sankarshan has thousands of serpent hoods, and both Lord Shiva and Lord Sankarshan are incarnations of the Supreme Lord. So, and Brahma told Narada that you should have faith that Lord Shiva is non-different from Lord Krishna. So when Narada arrived at Shiva Loka, Lord Shiva and Parvati and his many, many of his devotees were all having an ecstatic kirtan. Imagine when you go to Shiva Loka, you can be in the kirtan with Lord Shiva and Mother Parvati. And described Mother Parvati was playing the kartals, and after the kirtan ended, Narada began to praise Lord Shiva. He was just like in awe. And he began to repeat the same things that Lord Brahma had told him about Shiva. And then Lord Shiva, same thing, he covered his ears. He said, Vaishnavanam, Maheshwar, Vaishnavanam, Maheshwar. I'm not the Lord of the universe. I'm not the object of Krishna's mercy. I'm just a poor soul who's always hankering for the favor of the servants of my Lord. Narada was shocked. He was silent for a few minutes. And he sat down. He said, I don't understand. You know the mysterious glories of Lord Vishnu and the Vaishnavas. And all the Vaishnavas love you. They honor you. They want your mercy. Lord Krishna, he personally spreads your glories. And Mother Parvati, Ambika, Krishna's own sister. Parvati is, you know, Subhadra, who's Yoga Maya's expansion, right? Who comes and performs in Krishna's Dwarka Leela. When Krishna comes to earth, Yoga Maya comes as Subhadra, and Subhadra expands as Parvati. So you care for Krishna's sister in her expansion of Parvati? So he just didn't understand what was going on. And then Lord Shiva, he explained. He said, no, one who truly has Lord Krishna's mercy, you want to find, then you have to go to Vaikuntha. There, nothing exists but devotional service to Lord Krishna, to Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna. And there, all the residents of Vaikuntha. They render devotional service and worship the Lord with kirtan. And their kirtan goes on without end, goes on incessantly, with great enthusiasm. Everyone participates in the kirtan in Vaikuntha, worshiping the Lord of Vaikuntha, Vaikunthanath, Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna. And in the purport, Gopi Puranadana explains further that devotees in the spiritual world never tire of chanting the Supreme Lord's glory and singing and dancing to his pleasure. There, prema bhakti is the only activity. Anything anyone does in Vaikuntha is pure service and nothing else, because all the residents are fixed unswervingly in bhakti. And then Lord Shiva tells Narada Muni, truly, I tell you, such devotees are as limitlessly dear to me as the Supreme Lord himself. My highest ambition is to have their company. In my opinion, dear Narada, anywhere such devotees are found is actually Vaikuntha Loka. Arguing against this fact would be useless. So when we see devotees, any devotees, we may think somebody's kind of ordinary. There's my classmate. They're my teacher. They're my friend's father or mother or grandmother. Or they're, we may sometimes make that mistake, but it's good to catch ourselves and say, wait a minute. This person is Krishna's eternal servant. And if this person chants the holy name of Krishna, that means they're headed for Vaikuntha. They're headed for Goloka Vrindavan. So it's a good reminder, and we can remind each other not to take anybody who chants the holy name as ordinary. Lord Vishnu, the Lord of Vaikuntha, he is the master of the mode of goodness. We heard in the first purport, the first part of the story, that Lord Vishnu is the master, that the different sages, they wanted to see who was in the mode of goodness, because they knew that that would determine who was supreme. Who can... But Lord Vishnu isn't just in the mode of goodness. He is the master of the mode of goodness. And therefore, by chanting his name and serving Lord Vishnu, whose origin is Krishna, then he bestows peace and fearlessness on us. And he actually will help us become detached from this world and situated in pure knowledge. So the best way, what's the best way, always, forever, eternally, and especially in Kali Yuga, the only way, to worship the Lord through the process of what? Chanting, sankirtan, with chanting personally, with your japa, chanting with sankirtan, with kirtan altogether. And by doing this, each and every one of us can attain the ultimate success in this life. And we don't know how many lifetimes we've been endeavoring for perfection or for the ultimate success. We don't know. I'm going to guess a lot of you, less time than me, but we have, by the mercy of our spiritual masters, Srila Prabhupada and our disciplic succession, we already have this perfect knowledge. We don't have to argue about it. We don't have to... It's far out. You're going to hear the rest of the story about Vriga Muni going to... First, he just went to Lord Brahma. Then he's going to go visit Lord Shiva and then Lord Vishnu to get to this conclusion. But we already have the conclusion by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya. So you guys have I'm going to stop there, and I think a lot of you have to leave for school. And if there's anyone who has any questions or comments, and thank you all for being such an attentive audience. Thank you. Hare Krishna. So if anyone would like to add something, any comments or questions? Hare Krishna. Param Brahma Guru.
verse in Bhagavatam, 10th canto, also in Krishna book, I found Prabhupada translated that. Actually, few places, even in Gopi Gita, gopis are saying, Jayati te adhikam janmana braja. Janma, the word janma, birth, is specifically mentioned. And also another verse is, Nanda atmaja utpanna. Prabhupada translated that Krishna actually born from Nanda Maharaj. So, birth is actually there also. Krishna appeared in Mathura. But in Brajadham, he was born from the womb of Mother Yashoda. And the word exactly, like Janma. And Jiva Goswami Pad writes even embolical cord, cutting all these ceremonies were there. And then I found one interesting point. Baladev Vidyavasan Thakur says that Krishna is a Rasa Vaishaha. He is the expert of relishing the transcendental mellow of love. So, in order to release the Vatsalya Rasa, he, without birth, without feeling in the womb of a mother, the real, natural, complete nourishment will not take place. Therefore, there is no birth in Vaikuntha, but in Braja there is birth. In order to have a 100% nourishment that Mother Yashoda is thinking of, like crave, the toddler toys and all these things before even take birth, and her stomach is really growing. Even though Krishna comes from the heart, Prabhupada writes. So birth is there for ultimate nourishment for Krishna and the parents.
Wow, thank you for sharing that, Prime Governor Guru. That's awesome. Anyone
else? Just a quick point. When you said that many expansions are coming out of Krishna, but he's never divided. It sounds, well, to me, I thought maybe it was a little ambiguous, but I was thinking that even though there are many expansions of him, but yet he remains the original, complete whole. He's still 100% mm-hmm. absolute. In other words, though many are coming from him, mm-hmm. like for example, you have a cake, right? And then you cut enough piece. Eventually, the big cake, it becomes divided, small. So even though all these little parts are coming from him, he still remains the complete whole.
I was trying to
understand.
Well, me too. That's Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's purport. And it's actually, there's a lot more content in it than that. I was pulling out what the children could relate with and hopefully what I could relate with, because I don't think I've advanced much intellectually either. I mean, but it's Krishna's mystical potency that he can be the source of so much and remain the complete whole. And that he doesn't, and Prabhupada explains that in length also in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, that he doesn't become divided. That we don't have experience of that in this world. In the material world, there isn't something we can point to and say, oh, like that. But that's not what happens. Everything here has its cycle of life and death and rebirth and death again. And so, yeah. So when you understand it, you can explain it more to me when you have that realization.
Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you remember the first time that when Srivas Thakur was reciting 1,000 names of Vishnu, and then each name was appearing, when Nishingadev's name came, Lord Chaitanya actually took the form of Nishinga and took a club, and he was running on the Navadvip, scaring everybody, and they had to come and please the Lord, my Lord, you are scaring everybody. Then Lord Chaitanya decompose and went back to his, and then so then question came by Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur, put it in a Patravali in his writing. Is Nrisimhadev in the form inside Lord Chaitanya all the time, or how do we see that ferocious, most anger, most of everything that the natural nature generally shows in him, but in Lord Chaitanya's regular form right now in the altar, I don't imagine. So he gave a good example. He said, just like Ganges flowing, it's always sweet water. But if you take a cup of salt water, full of salt, how does it taste? It's horrible. But if you put that salt water deep in the Ganges, and then wash the cup and take the water, you feel the taste of salt anymore. But salt water is there. He says, so all the incarnation, quality, characteristic, attributes, personalities within Lord Chaitanya, but Lord Chaitanya's most magnanimity is the compassion to his loving devotees. He loves his devotee. This is like a 99.9% is most of the manifestation. And all other manifestation quality is there, but it's like a very little. Not visible almost. I thought it was very nice.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Very nice. Oh, she did it. They'll bring the microphone to you.
Thank you for your class, which brought out many points which are important to reflect on. Speaking of the various forms of the Lord, as Prabhu mentioned, when this pastime occurred, Bhrigu Muni's testing the Lord, how Lord Vishnu was so tolerant, and then Lakshmi Devi gets very annoyed at that point. She's very angry because Bhrigu, you know, kicks the Lord in the chest, and that whole pastime, she leaves Vaikuntha and comes down, and then the Lord follows in search of her, and that's the famous pastime of Tirupati Balaji. Venkatramana Padmavati. And the Lord came in that form in the previous Kali Yuga. And that form of the Lord is very dear in South India to many, many, many Vaishnavas. So I just wanted to mention that Tirupati Balaji is also one of the forms. And that's the richest temple in the whole world. All the devotees are helping the Lord to repay his debt, which he took to get married.
Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah. Didn't Prabhupada say all the ISKCON managers should go to Tirupati to learn something like that?
Thank you all. Nice to hear and chat together. And Mr. Ken, thank you, Hare Krishna.